If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the second chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And this book was written in about 60 AD. Paul was in prison in Rome. It was about the same time that he wrote Philemon and Ephesians and Philippians. Timothy was there by his side as a scribe, and he addressed all of the negative things about a doctrine, a false doctrine that was coming into the world called Gnosticism. And without becoming analytical about this, what it encompassed and what it led to was having this special type of knowledge. Now, there's nothing wrong with knowledge and wisdom if we understand where it comes from. But supposedly they believed, and they began to incorporate that into the worship of God. And little by little, what it did, it began to take away the gratitude that God, we should have towards God, and the thankfulness that we should have for the things that He's bestowed upon us. I'm thankful that God allows us to know and to understand the things that we now do. Great, marvelous works have come about, discoveries. But to understand that it did not come from us, that it came from God above. And to be thankful for that today, I believe, is what the apostle was wanting to impress. As we read the first verse, the second chapter of Colossians, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, enjoying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Correctly read, this includes the first down through the sixth verses of the second chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. Our thought will come from the latter part of that sixth verse, where that it talks about that we are to abound with thanksgiving. We are to abound with thanksgiving. God has revealed to us the mystery of godliness, that was kept secret and kept in past eternity. That is, that there would be a Savior who would come, who would take upon Himself human flesh, who would taste of everything except for sin that you and I do, and then go to the cross of Calvary, die for our sins, and then arise again the third day after His death, giving us a hope of a better resurrection. That would be knowledge enough. That should be knowledge enough of God's graciousness to us. And we should acknowledge it with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with graciousness, with everything within us to thank God for that gift of salvation. God did not owe it to us. Neither was God in obligation to send His Son But because that he loved this world more than anything, he sent his son into the world to be the final sacrifice needed that we might have eternal life through him to those that repent and believe upon his name. I believe that his blessings fall upon each and every individual. We're blessed. You know, whether that a person is good or whether they're bad, whether they're evil, whether they're not evil, God still rains his blessings upon all of us. And you know, we find that the Bible tells us in one place that the Father which is in heaven, he maketh the sun to rise upon the evil and the good, and he maketh the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. Think about it today. People walking about in a prison yard, convicted, you know, of the evil that they've done, of the laws that they have broken, perhaps the lives that they've taken. God still loves that individual. He still gives them life. And I believe that he still gives them opportunity to come to know him in the free pardon of sin. I believe the very fact that Christ has not come yet is even a blessing unto those that are lost, that are unsaved, that do not know him. God causes the blessings to fall upon the individual that lives in the back streets, that probably in a moment would rob you of what you had in your pocket or the jewelry or whatever, but yet God loves them. I don't understand sometimes the great love of God, but he bestows his blessings upon them. He gives them even the very breath that they take. He gives them that next heartbeat. He gives them that next brainwave. And on the flip side of that, he gives unto the others, us that try to be good, I'll kind of speak for myself, that try to be good, that try to do what's right, he bestows goodness upon us that we don't even realize. Sometimes we're late getting to church. And I'm not up here with, you know, an attendance record or a tardy slip. And if I hand you something at the door sometimes, it's not a tardy slip. But you know, today, sometimes us being even late to church or late to an appointment, How would it be if we could just roll back the screen and see what was going on behind the scenes? That perhaps we're late because God was going to prevent us from being in an accident. In other words, to prevent us from being in the wrong place at the wrong time, the wrong side of the road, at the wrong intersection. And he does that for everyone. Now, there are some people that this is their appointed time and they go out into eternity, but that's in the providence of God. There's always a reason why that God does what he does. And we have to be thankful unto God today that he does what he does. It may look tragic. It may look like that it's not good, but you know that all things that God does is good. There's no evil with God. Someone will say, well, why did God allow evil to come into the world? He gave the angels free choice. And they decided to rebel against God. And a third of the host of heaven, it says, fell into that transgression. And do you know today, because of their sin, there is no hope for redemption for them. The Bible says they're kept in chains until the day of judgment. They'll be judged. You will judge them. That's what the Bible teaches today. But think about the great love of God towards us, that while we were yet sinners, God sent His Son into the world to die for us. His grace, His goodness. Now, I've talked about His mercy, but His grace abounds, and it is measureless today. People have said today, how big do you think God is? From one end to the other end of the universe, God is God, and He is there. And whatever light years away, my friend, they may discover a planet, or they may discover a star. God is present. God is in all places and at all times. Do you know, my friend, that even while we may not meet at church, God is still walking beside of you, and God is still speaking to you, and God is still loving you today. His grace knows no bounds. It knows no color, no creed. It knows no religion. And pardon me when I say that, but God even extends grace unto the heathen and unto the pagan who don't even believe in Him. And you might say, explain that, preacher. How can it be? All I can say is God is love. And God, my friend, has a will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. God is good, and God is also light. There's no darkness in God today. My friend, He is light. He illuminates. He makes it to shine forth to us that we might see. You know, there are times whenever that you'll study in Sunday school some verse of Scripture or something that is spoken, and you write it down. And at the time, you may not understand or see it quite the way the teacher does. Well, beg your pardon, Brother Ron. But you may not see that. But then later on, God opens your understanding. And He begins to reveal not only that, but even beyond. You begin to chase a spiritual rabbit, if you will. Doesn't lead you down a hole. He'll just lead you deeper into the Word of God. And you begin to appreciate the being of God. You begin to appreciate the attributes of God, everything about Him. And then you begin to see that He is light and that He is good. Says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. There's a lot in that scripture today that this feeble mouth cannot bring out. But God, my friend, gives every good gift and every perfect gift unto each and every one today. It's perfect what He does for us. It's perfect what He reveals to us. And whenever that it says today that there's no variableness nor shadow of turning, God is still the same as He was in the Old Testament. God is still the same whenever, my friend, that the apostles were called. God is still the same whenever that He called the Apostle Paul to be a missionary to the lost and the dying in the heathen world. And you know, right here today, at this moment, as seconds tick by, as moments tick by, He's the same God that He was to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the same. He does not change. He's not this way one moment, and then tomorrow He's this way. If you ever read any of the Greek mythologies, there was one god that the Greeks believed in by the name of Zeus. And Zeus could change his mind at any time. Boy, he would help this band of soldiers over here. And if they just happened to look up into the sky with the wrong kind of look on their face, Zeus would punish them, or he would do something to them, or he would determine their fate. And we know that there's no such God as that. It comes from God, man's imagination today. God help them. I pray that not many of them pass this life without knowing the true and the living God. But my friend, He does not change. You know, you and I may do wrong. We may say wrong. We may think wrong. I will admit today, I'm bitter, Lord. I've got a heavy foot on the accelerator. I get to going around a corner and I think about the movie Bullet. And oh man, I think me and Steve, we're real cool. But whoever pulls me over doesn't think I'm cool. But I want to tell you something today. Even when we do wrong, even when we inadvertently do wrong, God is still merciful unto us. God gives us the very substance that we eat day by day. Everything is good. There is no such thing as something bad coming from God. No, not one thing. He bestows goodness. He bestows light. He bestows grace. He bestows mercy. And what should we do about that? We are recipients of it. We get it every day. You know the very fact, but sometimes I'm amazed at just how fragile that the human body is. And the more that I study it, the more that I realize it's just almost like a very narrow thread that is there between life and passing away. Very narrow. And I think about and I study about sometimes the way that our lung system works and how that it functions. And it works in conjunction with the heart. And all four of those chambers beat in synchrony, just right in the right type of rhythm. And the brain functions the way that it is supposed to, the way that it was designed. And our circulatory system, blood pump throughout our body. It's just the way, my friend, that it happens. But I want to tell you something today. God has that under control. He's controlling every one of our heartbeats, and He knows every heartbeat. He knows Bill's heartbeat today, and He's keeping that going. And He knows Frank's heartbeat, and He's keeping that going. And someone will say today, well, that sure is a big job. It would be for you and me. But my friend, I want you to know, there's nothing impossible with God. I want to tell you, my friend, He knows the minerals of this world. He knows, my friend, when it's going to rain. He knows whenever the crops are going to come up. He knows, my friend, whenever that we take food into our mouth and into our body, God knows our gratitude in it. One of the things, whenever that I sit at a Christmas table with family, this just is me. And I'll look across and I'll see my children. And I'll watch them as they eat. I see their fingers. Now they can't eat with a fork. But I see their fingers as they lift that food up to their mouth. And you know, there's a prayer of gratitude that goes through my heart. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that they are as well as what they are. Thank you, oh God. And let how they eat and let what they take in and the nourishment. And I want to tell you, even the laughter and the kidding. Now they've stopped throwing rolls at each other by this time. But you know, today, my friend, I have to bow my head at my plate and I say, thank you, dear God. I don't understand why at that time I do. But I truly thank God. I truly thank God. I even watch you all eat. Now don't next eating meeting go like this. I'm not watching how you eat, but I'm watching how that God blesses you. I'm watching how that God bestows His grace upon you, even in eating a meal. How He bestows His mercy upon us. I'm thankful that I live in the land I live in. I want to tell you, all my growing up, I never did go along with burning the flag and stomping on it and cursing it and everything. I never did. Never took part in that. And I'm not trying to lift myself up on a pedestal, but I know what freedom cost. I know what it cost to my own family. I know what it costs to you that have loved ones that paid the ultimate price to give us this right, this privilege that we have today. And there are times whenever that we, and you might say, well, I didn't come for a patriotic sermon. Well, just kind of excuse this. Because this is just exactly the reason, as Brother Ron read, that pilgrims came to this shore. And my friend, where that they set up colonies and they went through starvation. And then one Thanksgiving day, they wanted to give thanks unto God by having all the community. 1863, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed in the midst of war a national holiday of Thanksgiving. Think about that today. I'm thankful today for what men did for me. I'm thankful for the sacrifice. Oh, God, forgive me for the time I've wasted that privilege and that freedom. Times I have. But nevertheless, I'm sorry. I get kind of emotional about this. In the Old Testament, talk about wisdom. Talk about knowledge. There was a man by the name of Daniel, taken as a young man into Babylon. He was going to be one of what they call the magi or magicians. Now, they didn't pull rabbits out of their hat. That wasn't the type of magician that they were. But they were men that studied the stars, and they were men that studied the planets, and men that studied, you know, all the things at that time. They were advisors unto Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel was one of these. Somehow they sensed in him a spirit. And it was a spirit. It was the spirit of God. Daniel was different than the rest of them. But there came a time whenever that there was a dream that was troubling Nebuchadnezzar. And he wanted to know what it was. But he wouldn't tell the advisors. He said, if you guys are who you say you are, you'll know the dream. And you'll find out the dream and you'll tell me what it is and you will advise me as to what to do. You know what Daniel did? He went back to his other three Hebrew friends. Thank God for friends you can go to and pray with. That's what he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they began to pray. And they began to pray. And they began to pray. And as Daniel laid down his head upon his pillow, the great God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, revealed unto Daniel what was going to take place. And Daniel answered, and he said unto God, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and seasons, removes kings, sets up kings, gives wisdom and knowledge unto them that understand. And what Daniel did was, as he says in the 23rd verse of the second chapter, he says, I thank thee and I praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given unto me, listen to what he says, he has given unto me wisdom and might and has made me to know what we have desired of thee. As smart as Daniel was, as intelligent as he was, he still gave thanks unto God, who is the author of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and of his Holy Spirit. You find that in another place in Philippians, where that the Apostle Paul gave thanks. And I want to tell you where Paul was when he wrote this letter in Philippians. Paul was in prison. Like you always find that a lot of times he was for preaching the gospel. But Paul was in prison. And I want to tell you something today. He didn't have a big screen TV over here. And he didn't have a couch over here where he could lounge with his fellow prisoners. He didn't have a schedule where he could go to be rehabilitated. And I'm not making fun of that. Do you know where Paul was? Do you know where the Roman prisons were? They were just down below the castles. And part of the sewage of Rome passed through there. There's men that think that Paul was chained up to a wall. And there he was, up to his waist in that kind of situation. But do you know what Paul did? The Bible says in one place, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. That comes from a man. He didn't know what he might not be executed the next day. But he was thankful. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad or make you feel like, gee, I'm just an ungrateful soul. No, that's not it. I want to tell you, we can be thankful in the worst kind of situations, in the worst kind of circumstances. Abounding unto God with all thanksgiving and all that we owe unto Him. And in this same chapter that I read in your hearing, we find in the fourth chapter of the book of Colossians. In the first verse, he says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. He taught fairness. If somebody had someone in their service as a servant, he said, be just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. But then here's the kicker. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same thing with thanksgiving. Paul always emphasized and always said, whenever you offer prayers and supplications unto God, he said, make sure you thank God, that you don't think of God as a magic genie that you're going to rub the lamp and he's going to pop out and give you whatever wishes you want. But every petition, everything that we do, we are to accompany it with thanksgiving unto God. I've been kind of a semi-scholar. Not much of one about history. This kind of goes in conjunction with what's going on today. I guess one of the first things that ever touched my heart, and I was about 6 years old, was the Eichmann trial. And they showed a film of what happened to those people in concentration camps. And even as a six-year-old kid, I kind of understood that. But I was also thankful. Oh, God. Oh, God, I'm glad that I didn't have to go through it. I'm sorry that they did. I'm very sorry. And I want to tell you something right now. You'll never hear me curse Israel. You'll never hear me curse the Jewish people. I want to tell you something. I worked in pharmacy school with so many. And yet, now, the veil is still over their face. But I still love them because God loves them. And I still want to see them find their Messiah. I still want to see them find their Messiah who was sent to them. But I want to tell you something. When you see things like that, my point is, when you see things like that on film, it makes you stop and thank God that all is as well as what it is. There are people in countries that would give everything to be in a country like this where there was freedom to worship God. Let us abound in thanksgiving unto God. And whenever that you sit down, this coming Thanksgiving, to enjoy the bounty that God has bestowed upon you. whether it's like I said last week, even if it's a can of sardines, I'd be thankful unto God for a can of sardines, if that's what God wanted me to eat, or a turkey, or whatever that it might be. But the point is, as we sit down in thanksgiving unto God, let us thank Him from the very bottom of our heart. Let us thank Him from the very bottom of our soul for what He has done for us. Do you know what I thank God for? I thank God for Elkton Church. I thank God for every one of you. And I'm not saying this to lift myself up, but the little membership role, there are times I'll go down it and I'll just pray and just pray and just pray for all the members and their loved ones today. That's all that I have today. I don't know. It's what God wanted. It's what God wanted out of me. And I hope today that what you give to God is thanksgiving, gratitude. Do you know, I'll leave this with you. There's a saying that says, an attitude with gratitude will change your altitude. And you know, there's truth in that today.